you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast, New Year's Eve special. Yes, that is correct. While others are out making merry, you know, getting drunk, going off to nightclubs, going to parties, dancing in the streets. Me and you, Lewis, no, we're trapped here in our, I would say studio, but it's not a studio. You're in your front room. I don't know what room this is in my house. It's the fucking room where sound and light and everything seems to have fucking forgotten. But happy New Year's Eve to you, Lewis.
Well, I don't want to hate because this is our end of the year show. It's an extravaganza and we have a lot of amazing awards to give out this year. This is the most prestigious MMA award show in the world, bar none.
In the world.
But I will say, it seems like your studio is just slowly falling apart episode by episode. Now you're in a room with a white background and shadows behind you.
Hold on. Mister, you had this exact setup ever since you moved to fucking New Jersey. I never said a single word, never talked shit once. You only just recently added that fucking splatter of paint behind you. That is not artwork, my friend. That is James drunk after a three-day bender with a fucking paintbrush, okay?
Shit. No, you know, it's funny. Actually, on Sunday, I'm officially putting in my studio. We're building it out this Sunday. Over here. So I will be, as of Monday's show, you will see me in the new studio, my home studio. It's gonna be even better. I got beautiful cameras. Oh, you're gonna be so jealous of my cameras, Bisping.
James is painting again this weekend, I see. Okay, yes, great. No. Well, I've got a 1080p camera now. I do have a giant red dildo in my hand helping for the sound quality. But listen, I'm changing some things around myself, Lewis. That's why it looks like this. But come Monday's show, hopefully, it is the weekend and weekends don't operate too well. But come Monday's show, you're going to be dazzled.
I like the fact that I could see, like, you have multiple light sources, so there's different shadows behind you. They're doing different things. It's hilarious.
It really is. But thanks for talking shit about my home studio setup. As I said, never did it to you once. New Year's Eve, Lewis. I know you're working this evening.
I am.
Doesn't sound very social distancing, if I'm honest.
It's New Jersey, baby boy. This is Florida of the North. We don't give a fuck in New Jersey. 25% capacity. But if you just build your outdoor area at, you know, in a larger area than your indoor area was, I mean, then technically, you know, you could sort of skirt those rules in their own way. But it is social distance.
I know. I'm just messing with you, mate.
People wear masks. They do all that stuff. And, you know, we're going to have, you know, a lot of fun. I'm going to be with Dave Attell at the Stress Factory tonight. Big J as well. So it's sold out. But, yeah, great show. For those of you that could have been there, maybe some of the believers that are there, thank you for coming out and supporting. What are you doing tonight, Bisping?
Nothing. Yeah, we're just relaxing at home. We still don't even know what we're going to do dinner-wise. Sometimes I think I'm going to cook a meal, but then the reality of it isn't worth it. You know what I mean? It's a lot of effort for a very small amount of food when I can just order it and there's no stress involved and it's going to taste better, let's be honest. The neighbors invited us round to their house. It's our first time going over there. So we're going to go over there, say hi. You know, our kids are best friends, so it's only right.
The Lucases?
Yeah. We're going to go over there for a little bit. And as I say, that's it. Very, very nice and quiet. Not exactly the best New Year's Eve, is it? You know, it's not exactly the best year to celebrate. I think everybody is glad to get rid of this year, or even though nothing changes. Nothing changes tomorrow. It's still the same situation, still the same shitty pandemic that we're going through. But light is at the end of the tunnel.
Me and my family played a game called Rose Thorn Seed. at Christmas this year. And the idea is you're supposed to say, what was your thorn of the year, was sort of the thing that sort of bit you in the ass. What was your seed, which is the thing that you planted this year, started this year, that will hopefully bloom next year into your rose. And what was your rose this year? Like the thing that you're most appreciative of, beautiful, you know, what the most beautiful thing is. And surprisingly enough, like,
I came up on top of all your lists. You're like, the thing I'm most appreciative of is Michael Bisping.
You're my rose.
The thing I'm trying to grow the most is Michael Bisping and his background. What was the third?
The thorn.
Yes, well, I'm definitely a thorn in your side.
Well, not being able to do more podcasts with you. I mean, to be honest with you, just every minute that I'm away from you feels like a new thorn just pricking me in the butt.
God.
But a lot of people said, it was multiple people were like, you know what, COVID, where it seems like it's the thorn, in a lot of ways, it was either a seed or a rose, because a lot of people that I know shifted, they adapted, they had to take new career paths. My son's mother specifically, you know, she was, you know, sort of stuck in the service industry, and, you know, she, you know, just wasn't really happy doing what she was doing for a long time. And because that all shut down, she was forced to shift over, and she has a great new job. And it's like the beginning of a new career. So it's really what you make of it. The negative side, negative is going to happen in the world. And minimizing what's happening, but you know, you could only adapt and shift. And I think some people can be in a better place if they're smart.
Well, you can only adapt. You can only shift and all those things. And you can try and be smart and change things. Unless you're dead. Unless you're one of the hundreds of thousands of people that actually died.
Awesome, to be honest. I mean, death sounds like a long sleep. It sounds
exactly. But unless you're dead. But, you know, hopefully next year, hopefully this vaccine kicks in and things get back to normal. You know, I was thinking the ones that are really struggling, well, no, I don't mean really struggling, but in terms of their life being affected the most, because I'm almost 42 years old. You know, I'm not out there going to clubs and all that types of things. You know, I'm a quiet guy. I stay at home. It's the young ones. It's the students. It's the people just leaving college, you know, because like, look at Callum right now. Look at Ellie's boyfriend. She's got a boyfriend now. So to him the other day. No, ooh. Great kid. But
it better be.
No, but there's no opportunities for them. There's nothing going on right now. There's certainly a lot of places aren't hiring. There's a lot of, you know, just that gradual progress that you make in your life. That's all ground to a halt, pretty much, you know, because of all this. So, I mean, Callum's supposed to be at college, but he's not. He's here. So, you know, I mean, I'm okay. I've had my career. I have my UFC career, and now I'm doing my post-fight stuff. But, you know, that's all still going on. There's a lot of people out there like Callum and Ellie's boyfriend and stuff where things are hard. So hopefully this year, doors start opening for them and they can start making some waves. But still, it's sounding a bit depressing. We got the end of year wrap-up award show coming up soon. So we're looking forward to that one. Although, this disclaimer, you know, Harrington did organize this one, so I'm not sure how smooth it's going to be.
Yeah, I have no faith that Harrington did a good job with this. I know that just one thing glaring off the top, somebody tweeted this at me. He did the hottest female fighter category, which is
sexist.
We shouldn't even be able to do it anymore at this point. You know, it's 2021, but we're going to still do it. We're pigs. But
I don't see gender though, Lewis. I do not see gender. And I work for the UFC, so I cannot objectify them in such a way. I refuse to do it.
Well, Harrington excluded Mackenzie Dern from the list. It's just crazy. How do you exclude Mackenzie Dern?
Whoa, hold on. So we're all going off for Harrington's list, his short list, shall we say? Well, Harrington's taste in women will not be the same as yours, mine, or the general public, I would think.
I would assume so. And I would assume Harrington put a little bit of thought into this, and he can chime in at any time. I don't know what he's doing right now, but here's what Harrington did. He put a survey out to the fans. He gave them 8 choices. So there was 8 people that are hotter than Mackenzie Dern.
Fucking 8 choices though. But why 8 choices? Well, just do 4.
I'll tell you.
Just get the short list. Why would you? Doing 8. That's insane.
We're not. I'm telling you. So we're taking the top 4 that the people voted for, and we are going to discuss the top 4 and then make a decision as to who wins the award. So the fans do have something to do with this, where the fans essentially whittled the top 8 down to the top 4 for us, and then we are going to in turn choose the believer, or what is the name of the award show? A Bimmy?
The Bibbies? Why would it be
Bimmies?
A Bibby?
Bimmies.
B-Y-M. Oh, the Bimmies. Yeah, Harrington, you're looking rather perplexed back there. First of all, Happy New Year. And what have you got to say for yourself?
It's just the BYM Awards, guys. That's you know, it's all it needs to be. There's no cutesy name. There's no Oscar in this one. I guess we could call him the Michael, you know, if you want to follow that naming tradition. But the BYM Awards is fine.
It's a little self-gratifying to call it the Michaels. I refuse to do it. Do you know what I mean? They're like, this guy's a prick enough as it is. And now he's calling the awards the Michaels. And that's his, I mean, what's worse, calling it the Michaels or the Lewis's?
Ooh, the Lewis Awards. That sounds terrible. Don't do that.
I am kind of interested. You've piqued my interest, Lewis, Harrington, on this eight category thing. Who were the eight best looking female?
Do you want to start there?
Let's just fucking start with that, because I'm very intrigued to know. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is time for the 2020 BYM Awards, hosted by your host, Mike Harrington.
I'm hosting this now.
You're the host. We're part of the committee. Harrington,
this is where you stand up now. You do a 5-minute little ad lib. You know, you do a little, tell a couple of jokes. You warm up the audience. Go ahead. What have you got?
Well, you know, guys, 2020 has been one hell of a year for everybody involved. But, the UFC, we kept pressing on here. Believe you me, we never took a week off. No matter what the media said, no matter what journalists said, we kept persevering. This show has only gotten better. There we go.
Can I just say you're not exactly Ricky Gervais? Listen, I liked it. It was a good effort. You know, you sounded like Dana White's video that he put out, though. You can't just rip the dialogue from Dana White's 2020 video and then adapt it to BYM.
I can do whatever I want, clearly.
I like the response. Harrington, in 2021, can you fucking stand up for yourself a little bit, you little bitch? You make me sick.
Yeah, you little prick.
Yes, sir. You got it. I'll stand up for myself right now.
No, because we still get a lot of shit in the YouTube comments saying, oh, leave Harrington alone. They don't realize it's friendly ball busting.
We're just fucking around. And sometimes, yes, a little bit of real anger spills through. But that is the beauty of our relationship. Harrington's great. He's not going nowhere. We couldn't do the show without him. It's sad to say.
A bit of real anger comes through, but that's because a bit of real stupidity comes through that we have to deal with. Okay, so you people at home, you don't understand. But Harrington, then, go on. Without further ado, I do want to hear, in your opinion, the eight hottest, and then give us the four, right? This isn't like an official start to it, but I just want to hear, who did you have down as the eight hottest female that you objectify and treating like a piece of meat in the year 2020? I just don't understand. It's not my podcast, and it is not my idea, but go ahead.
Wait, are you making them read all eight, or are we doing the top four that was narrowed down to?
No, I just want to hear the top eight, though. I want to hear his taste in women. No, we're not doing it in every category, but this is funny. And I also want to hear the top eight hottest men as well. But who were, in your category, the hottest eight females in mixed martial arts?
Okay, well, first and foremost, you got the reigning defending champion from last year, Rachel Ostevich. If you remember, she was caught by the UFC, but she did fight in the octagon in 2020, so she still is eligible for the award. Obviously, I'm making the list, so Macy Barber's on it.
Yeah, but so Macy Barber making a return again. Okay, go ahead.
Samira Khan, a huge fan of the show and incredible journalist in her own right, gave us Diane.
She's not a fighter.
No, I know. I was she gave us Diana Absarogova. I don't know. You guys both saw a picture.
Just because Samira Khan says that doesn't mean you got to put it in. No one's heard of it. No one knows what she looks like. Okay, you're down to seven.
Okay, well, yeah,
I mean, she's the hottest one on the list by far. By the way,
but he can't even say your name. Let alone we can't see a picture, know what she looks like, or say your name. She's out. She's gone like the wind.
I can barely say Jiří Prochazka's name, but I still
just give me number six down through one.
Valerie Laredo, Bellator, but she's hot enough to make it. Ariana Lipitsky, Amanda Hibas, new entry, Tracy Cortez, and again another fighter cut, but she did fight in the octagon. Paige VanZant. Let's give her one more run at the hottest female BYM award.
I'm not even close. Valerie Laredo's fucking hot as hell too. Was she dating Masvidal?
No. They're just very close, I think. They're both Cubans. All right. Well, listen,
cousins.
I'll start the ball rolling. In a totally PC fashion, I'm going to say it's a tie for me between Paige VanZant and Rachel Ostevich. Oh
my God, you're wrong.
And why is that? Why is that? Why do you think?
Why do I think you're wrong?
No, why do you think I'm picking them?
Oh, because they're UFC fighters.
Because they're not UFC fighters. They're not UFC.
I get it.
I even got to commentate them on the card. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'll say Rachel Ostevich. There you go. There's my winner. Was she the winner last year as well?
Reigning defending. She won under the belt.
We're not even going to discuss this. It's just you're naming the winner. No.
Okay. All right, Lewis, go ahead. Sorry. I mean,
Valerie Laredo's hotter than her. By far, not a UFC fighter. And the other bitch that, what's her name, fucking gave us? Sorry, I'm sorry. I meant bleep it out.
Do not bleep it out. Let's make a highlight of that, in fact.
The other lovely lady that fucking Samira Khan gave us, whatever her name was, she's maybe the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. So no offense to Paige VanZant, but look, that's old fucking news. Okay. Paige is famous. So everyone sort of puts her on this pedestal. She doesn't hold a candle to Valerie Lareda or that other chick.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, there you go. So who's the winner? Harrington, you get the deciding vote.
We're going to get Harry.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with Lewis's logic that Valerie is not a she's not a UFC fighter. So you're not
the fans say, Harrington,
Valerie, what, by, you know, leaps and bounds.
Yeah, she's fucking hot, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she is. She's a good looking girl. All right. Well, let's go with that then. Valerie Laredo is the winner this year.
Oh, wait, actually, Rachel Ostovich did make kind of a comeback. 25% Valerie, 22% Ostovich. But the fans, you guys are in agreement with the fans. So Valerie Laredo, congratulations.
Wow. Our first Vimy of the year.
It's a big deal because, you know, I mean, this girl, I think she's undefeated. She's having great victories in Bellator. Her career is really taking off. And now she gets a Vimy. You know what I mean? The sky, 2021, this girl is going to go places. I'm telling you right now. All right. What is the next category? Okay, and the nominations, please.
Well, you did say you wanted, I figured let's get this out of the way because it's going to take the longest if you want all eight for this category as well. I mean,
No. Let's keep it to the top four. I was just interested in the top eight of the
hottest.
Yeah, I mean, we're all interested in the top eight of the hottest females in the sport. You know what I'm saying? We all want to sit here and think about those ones. I don't want to think about the ugliest males. I don't want to think about the shittest fight. I don't need any of those things. But you should just give the nomination to the top four, please.
Top four is Michelle Paella.
Solid looking guy.
Thick man. Thick, great, great hair. Just got a big win. By the way, winning is also, here's the funny. We're like, with women, we're like, yeah, she's the hottest. Done. With a guy, you have to think of the layers. You have to think of the way that a woman thinks of things, right? So the fact that he just won a big fight, you know, beat a guy who was, you know, coming in with a lot of heat. I think that there's a very sexy quality in a man.
Well, yeah, people want to, you know, be with winners. Quitters never win. But yeah, we need to hear the others first before we go into this, before we break it down. Okay, Harrington, who are the contestants, please?
Well, I mean, this is a rough one following that up, but Paulo Costa.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Paulo Costa should be disallowed. Number one, he's been impregnated by Israel Adesanya. Okay, he's not having any kind of fun with anyone time soon. And secondly, yeah, if we're saying that he's going to be a winner, he's a great fighter, but recency bias wasn't a good one last time out.
There's no hard set rule that he has to be a winner. It's just hotter if the guy is winning, obviously. But I will tell you right now, he's a better looking guy than Israel Adesanya, and Israel Adesanya is the guy who beat him, and he's the champion. But Israel Adesanya.
But the question is he a better looking guy than Michelle Pereira? And can he do a backflip as well? I guarantee he can't do a backflip, but I'm going to say out of them two, we've yet to hear the other two. Paulo Costa, baby boy.
You like Paulo Costa more? Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'll take Paulo over Michelle Pereira all day.
Okay. See, exactly. So the point is they don't have to win necessarily.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Literally the one eye. Who are the next two?
Another guy who changed his look up quite a bit this year. Used to have those long flowing locks. Now Brian Ortega with the shaved head, still making the list.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been seeing pictures of him on Instagram. Brian Ortega's a great guy, tremendous fighter. He's fighting for the belt early next year. Good luck with that. But the shaved hair, well, not the shaved hair, the short hair, it's not doing it for me. Because at first, when he shaved it, okay, it's a cool look. He looks like an extra out of Alien 3. But now it's at that phase, you know what I'm saying? Because I want to shave my head again because I'm kind of just sick of this. But you get to a point where when it grows back, there's just that shit phase of a few months where you can't do anything with it. It's just like a tuft, like a microphone, you know.
Can I also say that, and this is going to sound a little harsh, 145-pound guy. No woman wants a 145-pound man on top of them.
Yeah, but he's cut a lot of weight, so we could be talking 160 of Southern California beef.
Yeah, there's not a lot of beef. You know, I want a Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa is a big, meaty man. He's going to hold me down. He's going to let me know that where
he's
I am.
He's going to grunt in your face.
Yeah, dude, he's going to sweat a little bit. I want
to
be.
He's going to rape you. And there's not going to be able to a damn thing you can do about it.
If I'm saying yes.
Who's the fourth guy?
Somebody who I have a hard time taking instruction from because he's just
somebody that gives you a hard on. Did you say
no? A hard time taking instruction from. He's personally coached me in the last year. Then that's our good friend Mickey Gall.
Who said who chose to put Mickey Gall on the list?
He's a handsome guy.
I'm not saying he's an ugly guy, but just because he's training you guys, he gets on the list. I'm sorry. Voter fraud here. Do you know what I mean? What is going on? There's definitely voter fraud here. I did not see people voting for him. And in the middle of the night, Mickey Gall went right up.
Well, I mean, I could agree with you to a point, but I did put four other names on here and the fans have him, you know, in the top four there. So,
yeah, and to be honest with you, because they're part of the home team here, he's a friend of the show, that adds a level of attractiveness. We know him personally. There's something there. I mean, Mickey Gall is a goddamn beefcake. He's a dreamboat. Let me tell you, every girl that I've ever
introduced.
You see earlier
point about winning fights.
Shut up. He got injured. He's coming back.
Sorry, I'm joking. I'm kidding. Sorry, Mickey.
I mean, look, but still, who do you want? Mickey Gall or Paulo Costa on top of you?
Me and Paulo Costa, baby. Simple as that. I mean, the Ricky Martin, the dance moves, the silky shirts, you know what I mean? Okay, the bad performance. Everyone has a bad night at the office here and there. I say the winner this year is Paulo Costa.
I agree with you. And we don't need Harrington for the tiebreaker, but I'll tell you right now, beyond that, was he undefeated? He was undefeated before that fight. So he's only been beaten by the other guy who's undefeated, who looks like he's next level, maybe pound for pound best in the world. So I think we're even being kind of harsh on Paulo Costa. It wasn't a great performance, sure, but at the same time, he might very well come back and be a champion one day.
It was a terrible performance. It wasn't a not very good performance. It was a terrible performance, you know, but everybody, you know, so what? He had a bad day at the office, but still, we won't hold that against him. But Paulo Costa, just when you thought things weren't going well, he's a winner. He gets the award. Harrington, without further ado, next category, please.
Well, congratulations to Borisinha. All right. I think the thing that most people are most excited about, knockouts in the UFC. You know, let's get that out of the way. Knockout of the year. Our contenders are Francis Ngannou versus Jorginho Rozenstruik. If you remember, that was UFC 249, that first big card back in May down in Jacksonville.
Yes. Yeah, no, look, listen, it was anytime Francis Ngannou fights, you know, any time apart from when he fought Stipe Miocic, that is, you're probably going to see a knockout. This guy just got to connect with one punch and one solid punch, and people seem to go to sleep, whether you're Junior Dos Santos, Francis Ngannou, or Jorginho Rozenstruik. But I say no, this is not the knockout of the year. People have come to expect that from Francis, and he hit so hard, but he's had better ones. And number one, there was better ones this year, and Ngannou's had better knockouts in the past. Yeah, no, it's not the winner. It's a good knockout, but it's not the winner.
Yeah, it's a really high-level knockout considering how good of a striker Rozenstruik is. But, I mean, when you compare it to the Alistair knockout, which was just sent from heaven, I mean, it was the craziest knockout ever. It falls a little bit short. But what else we got?
Victim of his own success. All right, Cody Garbrandt. Remember, if you remember, there was the argument between him and Sean O'Malley who had the better knockout on that card. He dug deep into his pocket, you know, threw from the hip and one-shotted Rafael Sunsal.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was cool.
Go ahead, Lewis. Go ahead. I was going to send.
No. I thought it was a great knockout. Yeah, I remember it. He like ducked down and just came back and timed it perfectly. It was Cody's comeback fight too, right? So that was a big knockout. So yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
I like that one more than the Ngannou knockout.
Well, it was a great knockout, and at the time because it was on the same night as Sean O'Malley versus forget his name now. Pardon me.
Eddie Wineland.
There you go. And is that one of the nominations, Harrington?
That was on the list. The fans did not vote it.
Ooh, yeah, because on the night, at the time, Sean O'Malley and Cody Garbrandt were having their own kind of award show, if you will. They were competing for who had the better knockout. And I got to say, I thought Cody Garbrandt was better. And I think that Cody Garbrandt was better than Ngannou's. However, we're yet to hear the other two. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, this was the highlight that broke, you know, UFC Twitter. If you remember back in October, Joaquin Buckley had his leg caught off a kick and then pulled that, you know, crazy spinning back kick to the face that got him in a Kanye West song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I haven't heard the Kanye West song, but one thing I'm looking for in what's going to be the knockout of the year is something that you haven't seen before. And we haven't seen that before in the UFC nonstop. And that requires tremendous, not only power, athleticism, creativity, the willingness to take risks, you know, because there's a lot of things that people do in training that they don't do in the octagon, because, you know, in training, you can mess around. There's no consequences. In the octagon, when it's for real, if you fuck around and it doesn't work out, then you're going to pay potentially the ultimate price. And as I say, he still went for it. So for me, and I've yet to hear four, and I'm open to suggestions, but for me, that is the knockout of the year. And I feel that's the general consensus knockout of the year. Lewis?
You can't name the knockout of the year before you hear the final nominee. Imagine
I just said, I think I'm yet to hear the fourth, but I feel that is the general consensus knockout of the year. Although I'm open to hearing the fourth, and I will take it on board. I will have a rational discussion. I will listen to the merits. I will listen to the discredits, and I will make up my own mind. But as of right now, hearing 75% of the nominations, Lewis, yeah, I've got him ahead right now.
I don't know what else could beat that. I agree with you, Mike.
I agree with you, Mike.
We sure, you know, we have to give respect to the last knockout, but that knockout was bizarre. I just watched it again. Yeah, it was fucking out of this world. Really, really great knockout. We'd never seen anything like that. It was out of a fucking ninja movie. So unless Harrington pulls something crazy.
No. You've got to hear the fourth. You can't make up your, you can't give a pick right now, Lewis. You've only heard 75% of the options. What is the 75 to 100% of the options, Harrington?
In my mind, it's the only one that can compete. Another one we haven't seen very much of, Kevin Holland getting the knockout off of his back. Do you remember? I had a dream about this, and then boom, turns the corner and swings from his back. Just absolutely level Poirier.
Yeah. No, tremendous knockout over a high-level opponent as well. Certainly to do that to Poirier on the ground, that deserves extra points.
That is something to consider. You're right about that, because level of opponent.
The level of opponent to do that against Jacare whilst on the floor, yeah, it's very, very impressive. And Kevin Holland, friend of the show, of course, set for a big match next year. But I'm sorry. Yes, good knockout. Free knockout as well. And he just kind of, and by the way, I'm not taking away from the knockout at all, but he took advantage of the situation. You know what I'm saying? It was there. He thought, fuck it, I'm going to throw it. And it was a good shot. And he followed it up. Not saying it was a fluke or anything like that. It was, conscious decisions that led to that. Yeah. But the wacky Buckley one, that was just split second time, and he's like, fuck it, you caught my kick, boom, let's go. And he threw it, he jumped in the air, he spun, never been seen before. Oh yeah, granted, we've never seen Jacare knocked out like that from the guard position either, but still, in terms of just overall impressiveness, athletic ability, and just wowing the crowds, even though there was no crowds, Buckley.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, it was a knockout. Yes, he did actually knock Jacare out. It was the impressive part was sort of what set up the actual knockout, like the punch from bottom. And it was, I think it was probably even ruled a TKO. But either way, like, yeah, super impressive. I wouldn't even put that in second place. I would have probably put the Cody Garbrandt knockout in second place.
Oh, now we're talking controversy. But I agree, actually. I think the Cody Garbrandt one was the way he did it. And who did he knock out? Sun Tzu?
Yeah,
Sun Tzu's a high-level opponent as well. No disrespect to Eddie Wineland and Sean O'Malley, but Eddie Wineland's been around for a long, long time. And, he's a little more miles on the clock, shall we respectively say, whereas Sun Tzu, again, same thing, been around a long time.
Hey,
but
Eddie Wineland and Sun Tzu might be up for a BIMI Lifetime Achievement Award one day. Who knows? They're getting up there.
Eddie Wineland and who was it? Hafele Sun Tzu might be down the fucking job center on Monday. Okay, never mind a BIMI Lifetime Achievement Award, right? Harrington's got a job for them. Do you know what I mean? All right, next category.
All right. Well, if we're gonna give that much accolades to the knockout artist, I think it makes sense to also give some credit to the jiu-jitsu players. Submission of the year, first nominee, Mackenzie Dern, with the first ever leg lock submission in women's, UFC history against Hannah Cipers at UFC on ESPN 9.
Yeah, no, again, with Mackenzie Dern, what makes that so special is that Hannah Cipers, that's how she likes to fight. Predominantly, she likes to take people down to the ground and, exploit a weakness there. But Mackenzie Dern's another level on the ground. She's a lifelong martial artist. Her dad is a huge, hugely respected BJJ practitioner. And her ground game's on another level to most people in the UFC. And that's my front runner. I've only heard one nomination, so that's why it's my front runner. But I'm telling you, right now we got Mackenzie Dern in the lead.
Oh yeah, she's killing it, definitely. Out of what we've heard so far, by far the best one. It was a good sub, but it's almost like, Is it impressive because it's the first female leg lock in the UFC? I mean, sure, I guess. I've seen so many knee bars in my life. That
no, you haven't. No, you haven't. I mean, a high-level competition in the UFC, there's not that many knee bars. Rear naked chokes, 10 a penny. Arm bar, schmarm bar. Kimura, fuck out of here, right? Easy. That's day one stuff. Knee bars, and she's ahead in this race. What's the next nomination?
One that you didn't mention in what is pretty much a routine submission at this point, but Charles Oliveira made it look impressive. The guillotine choke versus Kevin Lee, the last card before the shutdown, March 4th, ESPN plus 28 in Brazil.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I mean, that feels like a lifetime ago, but in fact, I was there as well. That was the first event with no crowd, even though, and it was driving me crazy because I worked for the UFC and we sat around and we did the end of year wrap-up show and they were talking on that about how everything changed and DC and Rogan and John Anik made history because they called the first fight with no crowd and I'm at the same table. And I'm like, really, motherfuckers? Really? Just because it doesn't fall into your narrative, you're just going to ignore the fact that Brendan Fitzgerald and we were the ones that broke history. Well, not we, you know, we had nothing to do with it, the UFC. But still, there you go. Okay, guillotine against, who did he do it against?
Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee. I mean, yeah, Kevin Lee's a great fighter. But a guillotine, and it is, you know, it's kind of an opportunistic thing, but there's a lot of technique involved. You know, some people wouldn't finish a guillotine from that position. You have got to have the correct technique. But that's still hard, yeah. I've still got Mackenzie Dern ahead.
I got to be honest with you. I mean, we've seen, I hope there's more impressive submissions. When you consider the competition, also you consider the rise of Charles Oliveira now. Obviously, this is great. Mackenzie Dern, great. Sure, we haven't seen that many knee bars, but I've seen a fucking dozen knee bars in the UFC. You can tell me that I haven't seen them. We've seen them. Maybe it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. Let's get
You've
real.
You've never done a knee bar in your life. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a professional athlete, so I'm not. I shouldn't be.
You are dismissing abilities.
Mackenzie Dern's never done an hour of comedy on stage either. What do we do? Who cares? Right. So the point is, these aren't super slick submissions that I'm going like, oh my God, my mind is blown. The flying arm bar from Rose Namajunas a couple of years ago, that was crazy. You know, I want to see some crazy shit.
Well, listen, you want crazy shit? I hope this is in the list. There was a flying triangle a couple of weeks ago from my boy Jimmy Flick. Is that on the list?
That's for sure on the list.
Thank All God. Right.
You want pizzazz? You want wow? You want shit you've never seen before, unless you've been in the gym many times. And you see it a lot, Lewis. But there you go, Jimmy Flick doing a flying triangle just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I called it. I should know it was a week ago. Right, Harrington?
Yeah, December 19th against Cody Durden, UFC Fight Night 183.
Okay, and then what was the final one?
The final one was Aljamain Sterling pulling off that rear naked choke against the previously undefeated Corey Sandhagen in a title eliminator.
Yep, not interested. No offense, Aljamain, great guy, great submission, job well done. Got him a title shot, but yeah, come on, Jimmy Flick, first fight in the UFC, hitting a flying triangle like that. Congratulations! I'm gonna go out on a limb, Lewis, and just go with it, because I know you're gonna say that.
I mean, yeah, Jimmy Flick, obviously, it's the only really cool, unique submission that's on the list. I want to see unique shit. You know, I understand that it's harder to tap certain people out and they're, you know, it looks slick and it's great and the way they set it up. But I'm just saying, I want to be wowed. I want to be impressed. And I think we would be stupid if every other award show this year is giving it to Jimmy Flick and we're sitting here being like, oh, yeah, fucking something.
Mackenzie Dern. Have a bit of respect.
I love Mackenzie. She should be on the hottest female fighter list. Fucking dumbass Harrington.
Yeah, why wasn't she on the list, Harrington?
That was just a complete brain fart by me. I tried to cheat, actually, when I sent Brian the images for what we're going to use here. I did add Mackenzie Dern to the list.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank one of our incredible sponsors, and it's literally our newest sponsor, Manta Sleep. Let me tell you something. When you are a high-level athlete, like we are... You know, having quality sleep is the foundation for everything good that happens in life. Driven by the belief that Manta is on a mission to give light sleepers control and mastery of their sleep. Let me tell you something. Manta Sleep Mask, you can maximize the enjoyment of life and unlock your full potential. The masks are 100% blackout for a deeper sleep, and they're made of soft, breathable, durable materials, so you'll never worry about it stretching or falling out. It's really, really comfortable. It's more comfortable than not wearing a mask, in my opinion.
Yes, and in addition to the sleep mask, I've been
using both the cooling and the warming mask after my training sessions. I keep my cooling mask in the freezer, and after my workout, I put it on for a couple of minutes, and it really helps rejuvenate my eyes and my sinuses following taking shots to the face. And keep your jokes to yourself there, please.
What?
But yeah, yeah. Do you know why I said this last time, but it's really good. The cooling mask is great. When you've overindulged, you get a little puffy from the alcohol, you slip that on. Little trade secret before you go on set, Lewis.
I love that. Let me tell you something. Your face looks less puffy. I was just about to say, I was about to compliment you and say how nice and streamlined and unpuffed your face looks.
Well, if you go to the website, mantasleep.com, and check out their full selection of sleep accessories, you too can have a svelte, streamlined, non-puffy face. They have body pillows also. They have weighted blankets, sleep machines, everything a light sleeper could need to get that perfect night's sleep. And let me tell you, getting the perfect night's sleep is required. Right as Lewis yawns in my face. Thank you for that, Lewis.
They couldn't see it.
They can't see it, but I can. I'm like, I saw into the soul of Lewis J. Gomez, and it didn't look good. Now, listen, back to the Mantis Sleep. Be sure to check out mantasleep.com this holiday and use the promo code BELIEVE10 to get 10% off the perfect gift. Give the gift of perfect sleep to yourself, to anybody, to everybody. We all need good sleep. Manta, sleep better anywhere, anytime.
All right, next category, please.
All right. Well, you got to give some credit to the people who are teaching these guys, you know, how to get these incredible knockouts and submissions. So we're going to go with cornerman of the year. First one up, Eugene Behrman out of City Kickboxing.
Yep. City Kickboxing having a tremendous year. Obviously, Volkanovski, the champ. They got Adesanya. They got Dan Hooker. And they got a tremendous amount of talent. They got, I forget his name now. They had a guy on the Contender who's going to have a very, very bright future as well. Yeah, listen, you know, I mean, he's obviously very, very good. Who else we got on the list? Lewis, go on.
Go ahead. Continue.
All right. While associated with Team Elevation out of Denver, technically he is an independent. He's just running his own fighters, doing whatever he wants to do. But he did help Justin Gaethje get an interim title and the shot at Khabib Nurmagomedov. And that is UFC analyst Trevor Whitman.
Well, Trevor Whitman, one of the best in the business. You've probably seen now on occasion, not every show, but every couple of shows or every few shows, they have Trevor Whitman and we cut to him and he talks about the cornermen and talks about whether or not they gave good advice, bad advice, what he would have liked to have seen. And I got to say, every time Trevor Whitman comes in and does a little segment, he's so good. He's just, you know, his points, he delivers them very, very well and he clearly knows what he's talking about. And he's definitely one of the best minds in the game, which is why he's on the list, I'm assuming. But this is one of those things, until I hear the full list, we can't give a front runner, Lewis.
I have a hard time just, this category is kind of hard for me because I don't
this really category know. Is kind of boring as fuck.
I just don't know, like, what makes a great, is this a coach, you said?
Cornerman.
Like,
mentor.
I don't really know enough about what makes a great cornerman to give a real assessment here. So I couldn't really tell you, but.
Well, I mean, I think this is one where Michael might be able to give you a little bit of insight. Your former cornerman, the great Jason Perillo at Aruka Sport.
Yes. Now we're getting to the good stuff. No, see, this is tricky because, of course, I'm going to say Perillo. You know what I mean? But I'm going to be biased. So I have to, you know, because Perillo, I want to hear a bad word about him, the fucking prick. But other than that, he's definitely one of the best in the business. But, of course, I'm very, very biased. So who's the fourth guy on the list?
Well, if you remember, he just coached Mackenzie Dern through a broken nose in her last fight and got her a win in the third round when she really needed it. The only one who I think can compare is a debuting cornerman, somebody who, you know, had a great showing in her first fight in somebody's corner, and that is Mike Perry's girlfriend.
Ooh, actually, I know who my vote is.
Yeah, no. Listen, remember, what were some of the nuggets that she had? She had some good ones, like, you're doing great.
You're doing good, baby. Get up, fuck him up.
Would you like some water? Do you know what I mean? That was the delivery line. You know, the circular motion of the ice pack on the shoulders. Now, listen, you look at that and you think that's easy. I've seen people going up and down. I've seen them going side to side. It doesn't work. It doesn't get the circulation. She's obviously trained in the mountains of Tibet. She's been to the Buddhist temples in Thailand. She's seen it firsthand. That was not easy. Mike Perry's girlfriend, and she's pregnant. Oh, the pair of them.
And
they get
pregnant,
the award.
That's technically two cornermen. You know what?
She's disqualified. The two of them. No wonder she had the perfect technique.
Dougie, I'll tell you right now, you got to give it to her. It's the first time out. Perillo's been in the game for a long time. He's training champions. Trevor Whitman. These guys are fucking old hat. Who cares about those guys? This chick came in with no experience. She cornered him to victory, right?
Yes.
To a defeat.
Well, one and one.
Oh, one and one.
That's better than I could do.
Lewis, think about this, though, as well. You know what I mean? There's no crowd. So on her first foray into this world, she was being monitored. She was being looked at like no other. Did she buckle under the pressure? Did she wilt? No. She stood up to the test.
She persevered.
She did it. She persevered. She conceived. She believed. And she damn well achieved.
2020 you know? Corner Woman of the Year. That chick.
That bird, whatever her name is.
I believe it's Lipori Gonzalez.
Congratulations.
Yeah. All right. The next one up, best fighter on social media / the funniest fighter. I think it makes sense. These guys have to get over with their personality. And I don't think anybody has done a better job of that this year than Kevin Holland.
Hold on. We have the great Luis J. Gomez here. If we're going to talk about comedy, we're going to talk about making people laugh. There's one man that this is how he pays the bills. Lewis, this is your category, my friend.
It is my category, and I should take the lead on this one. But I will say that, Harrington, what did you name this category? Because I feel like you could have just done a little bit better with coming up with a better title for this.
Well,
say it again. Say the full name you just said.
I said the best fighter social media / funniest fighter.
Wow, mouthful. You're not even going to get that onto the engraved part of the plaque on the trophy. Okay, it should be funniest fighter of the year 2020.
Beautiful. All right. So audible,
succinct, to the point, direct, no messing around. And when we get the engravings done, cheap as fuck.
All right. Well, then officially, the funniest fighter of the year 2020. First nominee is Big Mouth Kevin Holland.
All right, Big Mouth Kevin Holland, you're gonna insult him like that? He's a funny guy. He's even funnier when he's in the octagon because he talks, he dances, he's great. He's awesome, but it's not who I think of. I love Kevin Holland. He's tremendous. And maybe he wins next year. It's great of him to be a nomination. But, Lewis, when I think of funniest fighter of the year, I'll be honest. There's two names that come to mind that are the clear forerunners. But, Lewis, who do you have?
Well, what do you think? I would say that a personality trait of Kevin Holland is that he is funny. I wouldn't say that he is the funniest fighter. So I'm sure we have some other people on this list. Let's see.
All right. Well, I mean, a guy who, you know, certainly rose to superstardom, a lot of it through his quotables, Conor McGregor.
Okay. Well, listen, yeah, absolutely correct. Who the fuck is that guy? So on and so forth. Okay. He's had some classic zingers, we should say, could say, but not this year. Unfortunately, we saw him in January and then he effed right off. So I'm sorry. He's off the list and it's not a hatred. It's not from a hate angle. It's just, you know, nomination qualifying categories.
He wasn't that funny in 2020. So for you to not even being active, like, what did he say was funny? What was it, him punching an old man in the head? Is that funny? Him fucking
was that this year?
Him
was
throwing somebody's cell phone? Maybe. I don't even know. But it just wasn't a particularly funny year for Conor McGregor. I don't remember him talking any really notable shit against Donald Cerrone. Conor is on a different wavelength and he's not trying to be Mr. Entertaining right now. He's trying to be Mr. Big Bucks.
Yeah, no, I'm good for him. And it was great seeing him with Donald Cerrone. Came out, they had respect for one another. But yeah, it wasn't the funniest of press conferences. Now, press conferences aren't there to be funny, but sometimes fighters have comedic elements and they have some good one-liners and all the rest of it. But yeah, that wasn't one of them. At all.
Well, I was laughing my ass off when he was making the case that he somehow beat Khabib. But other than that, yeah, I have to agree with you guys. You already mentioned it. The impregnation, Israel Adesanya of Paulo Costa.
That's a good one. Israel's good at talking shit. Is it funny though? Is it funny? It's good shit talking. It's meaty. It's juicy. He's one of the best. He is good at talking shit. But I don't know that he makes me laugh per se.
Yeah, no, he's very interesting. He's a good follow on social media. He just hit 4 million Instagram followers, so he's clearly doing something right. But no, he is funny. He's hilarious. He is. He's good. He's not the winner, though. He's not the winner. And we've only got one more nomination. I've got two in my head.
This was whittled down from the fans. So maybe they disagree with you, but who else on the list?
Well, then the fans can go screw themselves, okay? I was going to say F themselves. I'm trying to not swear. I've already failed about 15 times this show, but I'm going to stop swearing. So the fans may have to reconsider their opinion on that one, Lewis. But still not. Izzy, out of the three you've mentioned, which is Izzy, who else? Conor McGregor and who?
Kevin Holland.
Well, yeah, Izzy's the leader right now. Yes. But who do you have him for?
Well, I've been bearing the lead with this one. Our good friend from Liverpool, Darren Till.
Oh, yeah. Till's hilarious. Is that not even on Bisping's top two?
What are you talking about? That is the list, okay? Darren, there's two. There's two in the top two for me. Hey, guess what? Out of a list of two, there's two. No, Darren Till, but you forgot Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad is a funny guy. You should follow him on Instagram, Lewis, and anybody else listening to this. Give Bilal a follow. He's very funny. He really is. He's a very, very funny guy, and he does the podcast, Remember the Show. That's the second one on the Kenny Florian and Anik podcast, and he's great on there. I've been on there myself. He's got a lot of personality, Bilal Muhammad, but this year I've got to go with Darren Till. Darren Till is the gift that keeps on giving. He's absolutely hilarious. Plus, he comes on this show, you know, almost once a month at this point, so we're a little biased. But for me, Lewis, but this is your category, I say Darren Till.
I agree completely. Darren Till is hilarious. He makes me laugh. I love having him on the show. I don't know Bilal Muhammad's comedic timing or any of the other stuff, but especially compared to everyone else, I don't even think that it's even a debate. You know, yeah, he's really kind of come into his own as the new Michael Bisping.
Well, I wouldn't say that. There's a little, it's disrespectful to Darren to say that. You know, he's out there forging his own path, his own greatness, shall we say, you know, setting his own career. And it's also disrespectful to me, you prick. There can only be one Michael Bisping. No, I'm kidding. No, Darren's the man. Shout out, Darren. Happy New Year, mate. And hopefully get you on the show soon. And congrats.
I did not forget Bilal Muhammad. He was of the top eight. He only got 2% of the vote. This was the overwhelming majority of the fans voted for this one. 86% for Darren Till.
Yeah, but the thing is, this becomes, you know, it's kind of like a popularity contest, isn't it? You know, every year when they have the sexiest woman alive, they have those kind of lists on the lads magazines. I don't know if they still do them, but it's always, you know what I mean? Like whoever's current. You know what I'm saying? Like, there've been some weird ones over the years, but just because, like Gillian Anderson back in the day, she's a good-looking woman. When she was on X-Files, she was voted the most attractive female on the planet. You know, very good-looking woman. Wouldn't say the most attractive female on the planet, although she does look like my wife. What's another one? There's lots of examples, but I can't think of them right now. But Darren Till being popular, you know, he wins the vote, I guess.
I love it. Yeah, he's hilarious. I mean, he's so many quotes just in real conversation, really makes me laugh. It's not written one-liners. It's not set up bullshit. It's just a funny guy. He's got good comedic instincts. And I think you said from that part of the world, everyone's funny. So,
yep, they are. All right.
Another one that had overwhelming majority fan vote, commentator of the year. You know, we have first and foremost, the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder made the list.
Yes, and incidentally, there was an article the other day that you may have seen on Sherdog. Everybody, boycott Sherdog. Boycott Sherdog. We should save this for the next show and go through this. This guy did a fucking an article, opinion piece. Michael Bisping is arrogant and entitled, and you go through it all. Okay, you know, fair play. But he's like... He, as well as being the worst commentator the UFC's ever had, well, he only has one eye and his other eye's injured, so he probably can't see the action. And he just goes on. It's a long piece. And if I ever catch up with a little shit, I'm going to give him a little slap. Yeah, that's right. Going to give him a little slap. But go on. Who do we have?
I wrote a lot of words about you. The next one up, the retired this year, so had experience both in and out of the cage, Daniel Cormier.
Daniel Cormier is good. Very, very funny. Great insight, of course. But yeah, you know, this one, I'll stay out of this. Just give us the three nominations real quick. So we've got DC, obviously, Paul Felder. And what are the other two?
Well, UFC's lead play-by-play guy, John Anik. And then, you know, a little-known guy out of Clitheroe, Michael Bisping.
Lewis?
It's got to be you. It's a Bimmy. We're not giving the fucking Bimmy to John Anik. Suck a dick.
Well, see, the thing is, though, Lewis and Harrington, this is more directed at Harrington. John Anik, whilst being a tremendous commentator, you're mixing the two up. He's the play-by-play, right? Anik,
Anik the play-by-play, just like Mike Goldberg or Brendan Fitzgerald, the play-by-play. Rogan, myself, Brendan, sorry, not Brendan, Paul Felder, we're all color guys, so we have different roles. You know what I mean? I don't think it's fair to mix the two. But if you are going to mix the two, I say John Anik. Watching that guy work, watching how passionate he is, you know, the amount of preparation that he does, you know, John Anik's my guy.
Nope. I say we get John Anik canceled, guys. Dig up stuff on him. Get him canceled. Michael Bisping gets the Bimmy, in my opinion. Harrington, you have to be the tiebreaker.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for me just breaking a tie here, I might have gone Paul Felder, but certainly between the two, I'm going to pick Michael Bisping.
Jesus wow. Christ.
Against Harrington, his own, against his will, he gets the Bimmy this year.
Harrington, you're fired. Okay? You're fired. Grow a backbone. Okay? I don't want some self-serving sycophant. That's a good one.
If it's between you and John Anik, I'm picking you. I'm sorry. You know, if I was picking one play-by-play guy, it would probably be Gooden. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say?
Oh, Gooden. You know, Gooden was asked to rank to the trash-talking abilities of Conor McGregor, Chael Sonnen, and Michael Bisping, right? On his Instagram, because he did one of these, you know, ask me something, and then the people type the questions. And they said, how would you rank the trash talk of Michael Bisping, Chael Sonnen, and Conor McGregor? And he puts one, Chael Sonnen. And then he comes up with that some line, I forget what it was, creative and intelligent and blah, 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 blah. Two, Conor McGregor, always philosophical, mind games, blah, 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 blah. Three, Michael Bisping, X-rated. What? Conor McGregor doesn't swear? That's it? I drop in the odd F-bomb? Fuck you, John Gordon. You're dead to me. Just kidding. You're a good guy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. But still, I was like, what? Come on.
All right. Well, next category up, Breakthrough Fighter of the Year. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people on this list whose names you might not have known coming into 2020, but they've certainly done their best to make themselves household names. First one
and
up.
And Harrington, also, when you give us the nominees, let us know how many wins this year, and if you can, please.
Certainly. So, you know, this is an argument that you and I had, Lewis, about this person becoming a household name. Amanda Ribas, 3-0 this year, UFC on ESPN 28, UFC 251, and UFC 256, all big-time wins for Amanda Ribas.
This is how little I pay attention to arguments between me and Harrington. I don't remember the argument. I don't even remember which side of the argument I would have been on.
Yeah, but when you're arguing that much over nothing, do you know what I mean? Or over, you know, some very, very minor, you're not going to remember them all. Amanda Ribas has had a tremendous year. She's just been on fire. But last year was a good year as well for her. So that's the only reason I'm not going to say she's the breakout fighter. She is potentially a champion in waiting, though. She's very, very good. She actually beat Mackenzie Dern late last year. That was a big win. She's really good. She's very, very good. But I don't think she's good enough to be the breakout fighter this year, because this year wasn't the big year for her.
All right. Well, somebody who I don't think you can argue that this was their biggest year. He doesn't get a lot of credit because, you know, his two big wins were earlier on in the year. But Gilbert Burns went from being, you know, just somebody who was kind of outside that top 15 to beating Demian Maia and Tyron Woodley and working his way into a title shot.
When is that title fight happening? Is it still happening?
I do not believe we have an official date yet. I'll look that up right now.
Gilbert got COVID and he was talking about it recently, saying how it was a real blessing in disguise because he thought he was going to be ready within a month or whatever, but he's still having problems with his cardio and things like that. So it's not actually scheduled right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Gilbert's he's got a title shot. I think once if you go from, you know, being somebody who is, I don't want to say virtually unknown, because Gilbert's been coming up pretty hard for a couple of years now. Like, he's been making waves. But yeah, he went from being virtually unknown to getting a title shot. That's a very quick trajectory. My only problem with it, we don't actually have it on the dates right now. And when's the last time he fought? It's been quite some time, right?
Yeah, he beat Tyron Woodley, what, October?
No, that was May.
Jeez Louise.
It's been a long time.
It was back in May. Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, Gilbert's had a great career. He's very, very good, and he's fighting for the belt. But he's been on the roster for a while now. You know what I mean? It's not like he's came out of nowhere. Like, I'm assuming the next two categories will be, because this is a bad list, Harrington. This is a bad list. Okay.
I'm not hating on Gilbert as a breakout. That's a breakout.
No. Amanda Ribas had a great year last year. Gilbert Burns has been around forever. Gilbert Burns is having a great year. He's fighting for the belt. He's the man. I love the guy. I love the guy a lot.
Devil's advocate.
Okay.
You can still be on the road. Nobody really is. Nobody's brand new on the road. There's a few guys who are going to be brand new. You're probably not going to have as impressive of a resume if you're brand new. I think when you say breakout, maybe this is how we define breakout, I think you know, going from being, you know, a guy who is on undercards, who you know, to main eventing and getting a title shot.
Or
that's a breakout year. He's still in the UFC before that, but he still broke out this year.
Or a name that we're discussing that this time last year we would have not been discussing. I would say that is how you define breakout star. We were discussing Amanda Ribas beating Mackenzie Dern last year. We talked about it on the show. We had, we didn't have Mackenzie Dern on the show for that fight or Amanda Ribas, but still we could have done, we could have had Amanda Ribas. Give us the last two, because I know who they are. Or I think, I fucking hope I know who they are.
Khamzat is one, obviously.
Certainly
has to be.
Talked about last, this time last year, Khamzat Chimaev with wins over John Phillips, Reese McKee, and Gerald Merchart, all within just a couple of weeks of each other.
And let me ask you, this time last month, people still couldn't even pronounce the guy's name, let alone last year discussing the guy.
I just said Khamzat.
Yeah, Khamzat, baby. Khamzat, brother, listen to me. It's Khamzat, but don't worry about this. Yeah, we were discussing this guy last year. Finally, a true breakout star for the year, 2020. The year of Khamzat Chimaev, brother. Who's the last one?
Well, the only one who I think can give him a run for his money, a guy who tied the record for most wins inside of a calendar year. We've had him on the show, Kevin Holland, wins over Anthony Hernandez, Joaquin Buckley, Darren the Dentist Stewart, Charles Ontiveros, and most recently, Jacare.
A big year.
And if you put them all together, that makes five. Five wins in 1 year. Just beat Jacare. Five versus three. Generally, I'll take the five over a three. It's almost twice as much. Now, and then look at the level of opponents. Reese Phillips. John Phillips.
Way higher level of opponents.
Though. You know, look at the frequency of schedule. Kevin Holland beats him again. Fighting again pretty soon, inserting himself. And Khamzat just pulled out of the fight with Leon Edwards. Not his fault.
Do you consider how much heat Khamzat's gotten as well? Because he does have more heat than Kevin Holland, even though maybe he shouldn't. Maybe it's not as deserved. But they're pushing him as this fucking next, you know, guy, next big thing. Are you considering sort of the public perception as well, or is this specifically just from Michael Bisping's perspective?
No. Whoa. I speak for the people here, Lewis. This is not okay. This is not my perception.
This is them.
No, this is for the people, the believers, the listeners, the subscribers, anything but the fans, the supporters. Yeah, we didn't know Khamzat and we didn't really know Kevin Holland, did we? You know, these were two names we were not talking about, and they're on the tip of everybody's tongues these days. So it's a two-horse race, in my opinion.
I have my opinion. I know who I want.
Give me your opinion.
I think Kevin Holland. You convinced me. I was going to say Khamzat, obviously, but in my opinion, the jury's still out on Khamzat. I have a feeling the same thing's going to happen that happened to Cass Williams, and I know he's out of the Leon Edwards fight now. We didn't discuss that, but I think that if he does fight Leon Edwards eventually, I think Leon Edwards is going to take it to him. I think he hasn't faced anywhere near the level of competition. And Kevin Holland, you know, that's a true breakout year. Beating Jacare in the way that he did was so impressive. He's on the tip of everybody's tongues. He wanted a sixth fight, and he wanted to fight Khamzat. So yeah, Kevin Holland's the fucking man.
And if you look at, you know, the situation regarding Khamzat, which, of course, great, good for him. It's not a negative to him. But he was on Fight Island, right? And he had a tremendous quick stoppage. And they were like, there's a fight, and, you know, this time next week, you want to fight on that. So if he wasn't on Fight Island, he might not have been able to do that. You know, whereas Kevin Holland has five unique opportunities. He stepped up on short notice. And Jacare is a much far bigger win than Gerald Merchart. That's just the reality of the situation. So, yeah, Kevin Holland, he's my winner.
Wow, breakout fighter of the year. I'll tell you right now, I feel like we're going to be ruffling some feathers in the MMA community.
It's the crowd, in case you were wondering what I was doing.
Well, the fans agree. I mean,
we're going to throw up.
We're crazy.
These two took over 90% of the vote just between the two of them, with Kevin Holland nearly doubling Khamzat.
Wow. The fans chose Kevin Holland. Well, he's a friend of the show.
I told you, it's because I'm in tune. Right, I'm in tune with the people. That's it. For me, I'd have said Khamzat all day, but no, I'm like, no, the fans want Kevin Holland, so I'm going to give him Kevin Holland. Okay, let's just take a second to hear from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Okay, you don't need to have erectile dysfunction to want to use this Wonder drug, which is what I'm going to call it. It is a sexual enhancement, but if you've got problems, it will fix those as well. At BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And chewables can work twice as fast as pills, and the chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or an empty stomach, Lewis.
Now, I'll say the thing that I love about it. Obviously, that's all great. We've all heard of Viagra and Cialis, and honestly, at this point, everyone's heard of Blue Chew. But the best part of all of this is you don't have to go and see your doctor, okay? You do it all online. It's a little 15, maybe 10-minute survey. They ask you a bunch of questions, and you're linked up with an online physician. They prescribe it to you right there and then they send it to your door in discreet packaging. So your neighbors don't have to know that you're, you know, having issues in the bedroom, or your neighbors don't have to know that you're trying to pleasure your significant other that much more.
And your neighbors don't need to know that you can go 10 rounds hardcore like a champion of the goddamn world. You can Blue Chew and do your significant other like a UFC champion, Lewis.
Listen to me. That's all I've been wanting to do, is to be able to do it like a UFC champion. Not you. More like Francis Ngannou. Maybe, maybe a John Jones, you know.
A DC, not me. I defended the belt once and got fucked off. You know, you're going to be performing like a long-term champion, like a real George St. Pierre. You're going to be fucking like a lizard.
Well, you'll be fucking like a two-division champion. It's really a champ sort sort of libido. So you're
going to be having sex like Conor McGregor after the Blue Chew.
Of course.
All right. Well, listen, guys, if you want to get involved, we're not even going to charge you for this wonderful drug. We're just going to ask you to pay for the shipping. I mean, what more do you want? We're going to give it to you for free when you go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, and just use the promo code BELIEVE, BELIEVE. As I say, you pay $5 shipping, and you get your first month for free. Not a bad deal.
Go on. What have we got next?
All right. I think the award that most people get the most jazzed up for, the one that is certainly specific to the BYM Awards, and that is the Michael Bisping Spirit Award.
Define the Michael Bisping Spirit Award again, because I don't know what that is.
Just the guys who conceive, believe, and achieve, the guys who embody the quitters never win mentality. To give you an example, first nominee, Stephen Thompson. If you remember, he had that bad knee injury heading into that fifth round against a very dangerous striker like Jeff Neal. He was still throwing that kick and maybe possibly uttering four-letter words because of it, but he gritted it out and got a tough win there.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I love Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Incidentally, joining us on Monday's show, fresh off his victory over, who did he just beat? My word. Pardon me?
Jeff Neal.
Yeah, Jeff Neal. Yeah, big off his, fresh off his win over Jeff Neal. Stephen joins us Monday, so we'll get into all that there. But Stephen's great. I love the guy, you know, but the Michael Bisping Spirit, really?
Michael Bisping Spirit Award, it's not, I mean, Harrington, they got to really dig down deep. They got to be...
My spirit is dark.
Yo, it's fucking, you have to deal with some real shit, okay? Like, I want to see, they've been to the bottom, and then they're up at the top, and then they're back at the bottom again, and then they get sort of to the middle. That's what we're looking for.
And then they're sucking dick outside of McDonald's just to pay the rent, okay? That's what we need, okay?
All right, well, what about a guy who defended his title twice in 21 days, and in one of those defenses was in the hospital until 2 a.m. the night before his fight, Davison Figueiredo against Brandon Moreno?
Listen, he's a nasty little bastard, isn't he? So definitely, he beat Stephen Thompson. No, Stephen's the man. And Davison Figueiredo, he is the man as well. Tremendous champion at flyweight. And yeah, you know, he took that fight very, very quick. A three-week turnaround, fastest title fight turnaround defense, I believe, or tied for that. Tremendous fight as well. Two good performances. One was a finish. Second one, fight of the year contender. And he had a couple of good wins this year as well. I mean, the way he took care of Joseph Benavidez on two occasions. So he had four fights this year. One of them on very, very short notice. You know, yeah, so far I've got Davison over Stephen, but I apologize for that, Stephen.
All right. We have.
By the way, I'll say right up before we move on, I disagree. I think that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson embodies the Michael Bisping Spirit Award more than Davison Figueiredo. Figueiredo's incredible, but it's like he hasn't been, you know, I just feel like when you consider the spirit of Michael Bisping, I'll tell you what is Michael Bisping's spirit like from Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is the fact that he was a former champion.
you know, he's getting older now. The fact that he came out and had a really gutsy performance like that, and people are talking about him like he might be, you know, back in title talks again if he has just a couple more wins.
Mm.
There's something there. He's coming back, baby boy.
Yeah. Potentially coming back. But just who did he beat to win the title again?
Oh, he never won the title. Fuck.
He never won the
title. He fought for the title twice.
Never won.
Well, it's like you. It's like you. He didn't win the title until he was 40. So, yeah. Michael Bisping Spirit Award.
The Michael Bisping never fought for the belt twice, failed to, drawed once, lost once, and then won it. No. I swanned in 2 weeks now. It's fresh up my movie set and sparked out the general consensus future of this sport. Okay? Yeah. The Hulk Rockhold. Okay, so Davison, give us the next two, Harrington.
By the way, I also hate how you saw, like, I saw the look on your face, and then I saw you smirk at Harrington.
Look at this idiot. Because Harrington, you guys can only see, and we're going to fix this. We're going to go back to split screen next year. But you can only see the person that's talking. So Lewis is talking, so therefore that he's highlighted, you're seeing him. But when he said that, Harrington's face, he was dying to chime in and interject. And I was like, no, I was signaling, no, let him dig his own grave. Let him show the world how little he knows about this sport. But he couldn't do it. You can see he was sweating profusely. He was like, no, my master is digging a grave that he will not get out of. He wanted to chime in so bad. Shame on you.
If I ever make a mistake like that again and you don't send me a DM and say, hey, dude, no, correct yourself, you're fucking fired, bitch.
Hey, Mel's back. Okay.
Wow.
And you get it, Harrington. That's for you.
I get it for not screwing up. This is crazy.
But for wanting to bloody sycophant yourself to death over Lewis's, give us the next two picks. This is taking a while. It's going to take too long.
I can't win. Speaking of guys who can't win, Paul Felder taking a main event fight with Rafael Dos Anjos on 5 days' notice. Tell me that doesn't embody the Michael Bisping Spirit Award.
100%. There's not a lot more to say about that. I mean, that was a gangster move. Good for him. And he gave a good account of himself. Went out there, fought his ass off. We should get Paul Felder on here sometime. But listen, that was a gangster move. He rolled the dice. He took a chance. Never paid off. But I still think he got a moral victory. Went 5 rounds. It was a good fight. He gave a good account of himself against a legend like RDA. And, you know, that's it. If you don't take those chances, you'll never win big.
Right. And I have to point this out. I mean, the fans agree, almost unanimously here, the overwhelming majority. The only one who is even close in the voting is one Michael Bisping for continuing to do this podcast through his second knee surgery. Just, you know, absolutely gritting it out. It's incredible spirit.
Second knee surgery. I bent my finger. Look how swollen that is. I mean, I'm holding this microphone right now. I'm in pain.
Like, He's got that microphone resting on his knees, holding it with his bad finger.
Look at that. I mean, listen, Paul Felder fought on 5 days, you know, but the fight was 25 minutes. This is 2 hours we're talking here, holding this with a bad finger, with no artwork behind me, a slight echo in the room, right? We think the camera's 1080p, but it might not be 1080p. This is a lot that I've got to deal with. My tea, it's empty, okay? My water is empty. And listen to this, when I put it down, echo, bang, distraction. People aren't putting up with these kind of distractions in the octagon. You know, they're zoned in. I'm the winner, baby.
I'll give it to you as well, Michael. We'll give you another Bimmy. You get two Bimmies. It's a record. Two Bimmies in one show, Michael.
Paul Felder gets the win for that.
Beautiful.
Stepping up against Dos Anjos. Yep, there you go.
Did you put Aldo in there? I think he should have been nominated, Harrington. The Michael Bisping Spirit Award. I know. I don't know. I was wondering if it was in the top eight, because I just feel like Aldo, especially after that last performance, he's just so fucking gritty and just hasn't, like, just still looks incredible. Like, after all these years, you know, it looks like he was supposed to retire, and then he just fucking just keeps coming back, and he won that amazing fight. Really good.
Yeah, and Kevin Holland should have been on there as well. The guy's trying to fight every other weekend, taking fights on short notice, taking on opponents, different opponents when there's problems, obviously, during these COVID times. Harrington, you wanted to say something.
Well, the other one of the top eight that received the most votes that didn't make it in there was actually Glover Teixeira for two pretty comeback wins against Anthony Smith and then, Thiago Santos in his last fight.
Yeah, Glover's having a fantastic year and hopefully going to get a title fight sometime soon. So, yeah, do you know what? Because of where he's at in his career, I say Glover Teixeira. He needs a little light shining on him. I'm sorry, Paul Felder. Glover Teixeira.
He's the winner.
You can't. That was some fucking Kanye. And remember when Kanye took the award away from Taylor Swift at the award show? You just gave it to Paul Felder. He was about to make his acceptance speech, and then you yanked it right out of his hand.
He's not here, okay? If he was here and he wanted to attend in person, he sent in a virtual message. We're not playing it. I'm sorry, we're not playing it, but he's not here. He hasn't accepted it. And yeah, Glover Teixeira, congratulations. Next category.
All right, next one up, fight of the year. You know, the first one on this list happened all the way back at UFC 248.
Hold on. Let's just try to jazz this up a little bit, mix it up, because it might get a little stale now into the 73rd award of the day. Lewis, do you happen to have a your vote? I'm sorry to switch things up on the fly, but Lewis, what have you got? What is your nomination? You have?
No, we're not doing the nominations like that. You got to.
No, but what do you have? What is your fight of the year?
I'm going to have to be reminded of all the fights this year. My fight of the year, it just happened.
Two little guys.
Davison Figueiredo versus, what's his name?
Mandon Bivol.
No.
Brandon Royval.
No.
No, Brandon Moreno.
Moreno. There we go. Yeah, that fight was incredible. I got to be honest with you. Since I've stopped drinking and smoking, I've had a new appreciation for watching the fights. So everything's been a haze up until a month ago. And the last few fights that I've watched, I've just been really like keyed in and tuned into them. I really have a new appreciation for it. And that fight, I was just on the edge of my seat the whole time. But the reason I want to be reminded of the other ones is because I've been living my life.
But you don't know them. Let's be honest. Hold on. Brian McKay, we haven't heard from today. Brian, happy new year. Brian, show yourself on camera, please. If you don't mind, if it's convenient, you know, if you're naked back there doing something private, don't worry about it. But there he is. Happy new year, Brian. What was your best fight of the year?
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe Izzy beating up Paul Acosta. I really enjoyed that.
Can I just say this? For fight of the year, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a back and forth affair. It's going to be like both guys having big moments, big lows, but they're still there. They're still in it. They're still fighting tooth and nail to the bitter end.
Exciting fight in recent memory is what Lewis said. Davidson, Figueiredo, Moreno. That shit was wild.
That was a tremendous fight. Harrington?
Well, I mean, you know, one that happened, it feels like a million years ago because it happened before the COVID lockdowns. But did you know that Weili Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk was this year?
I'm very much aware of that. Yes.
Holy shit. Changing my vote. Forgot about that.
Happened in March. Yeah, no, that fight was incredible. There's a lot of good fights this year. There's a few that flew under the radar that definitely need a mention that are in close contention, I think. Shane Burgos versus Josh Emmett. That was an incredible fight. I was there. I called that one, and I couldn't believe the action I was seeing. I mean, Josh Emmett hit so hard. Shane Burgos took so many shots but kept firing back. Incredible fight. Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier. That shit was bananas. Just an incredible fight. The one you said, Lewis Davison, I think that won a lot of the big awards.
It's recent too, so it's harder to say because it's easiest to give it to the most recent, right? But Wang Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili, yeah, that's the winner for me. That's the winner. It seems like so long ago, but remember, you know, I mean, that was nonstop action. Jędrzejczyk came out of it looking like a Klingon. You know, she was visibly disfigured. Her head was swollen and absolutely gigantic, and she gave a really good account of herself. And yeah, for me, that's the winner. Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Incredible fight. And we like to add a little bit of diversity in here, you know? Well, we're giving it to the women over the men, and people say we're not woke.
Well, the fans agree. 52.6% of the vote. Everybody else splitting under half. You know, the runner-up actually was one you guys have yet to mention. Dustin Poirier defeating Dan Hooker.
No, we mentioned it.
Harrington. Pay attention, please.
Fuck attention, Harrington.
Jesus Christ.
All right,
moron. Oh, and everyone in the chat now, like, stop being mean to him. But look what a moron he is.
Dead air. We're wasting your time right now. The more time we talk about this, the closer you are spiraling towards an ad read. You know what I mean? But that's Harrington's fault. That is all Harrington's fault. We're giving him shit for you, the listeners.
We also don't want to have ads on the show. That's all Harrington. Harrington's pushing us to do ads. We said no ads.
I have said so many times no ads, but he insists.
Guys, I got to eat somehow. The only other one you guys did not touch on yet then is Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
Absolute war, and it was the first one back, which everybody was excited
Wasn't the first one back, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first one with no crowd. Been over this many times. But it was the first one back, if you will, when they shut down. Again, to the point that I said to Brian, whilst I love Tony Ferguson, he's had a tough year, obviously. Gaethje dominated that fight. He dominated that fight, you know. So I think, as I said, you know, for it to be fight of the year, it's got to be close. Anyway, congrats on Justin for winning that. That was a big one. But yeah, it's who did I say? Oh, yeah, Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Zhang Weili. Congrats, ladies.
All right. Well, we only have one award left, guys, and that is for the BYM Fighter of the Year. And I'll tell you this right now, it's a hotly contested one by the fans. Very, very good.
Best Podcast of the Year award? Nope, none of that.
I mean, come on now.
No, but we got to go through the competition.
Yeah, there's not seven other podcasts that deserve to be on that list with Believe You
Me. Is there three others? We only want a list of four anyway. I'll give you some right now. Anik Florian, the DC and Ariel Helwani show, BYM, and then we need one more.
Fucking Ring My Bell with Big John and Little Mikey.
Ring My Bell, okay? Get my clock cleaned.
Big John and Little Mikey.
Big John and Little Johnny. Big John and Little Joshy. You
know, the fighter and the kids.
Big Brown Breakdown.
Yeah, the Joe Rogan's MMA Extravaganza explosion.
God, love that. That's a big one. Spotify baby.
John Fitch.
John Fitch broke my bitch.
Watches paint dry.
Good one. We've got Brendan Fitzgerald. He's out there. Every man and the dog. Splitty Kevin Ioli and Laura Sanko just started one. We got to stop giving plugs to all these
Sanko
other podcasts.
And the kid?
Sanko and the kid. Sanko and the kid. Oh, God. Shout out Kevin Ioli. But go on. What was
Ioli's
your...
ravioli? He reviews all Italian food.
Shut up, dogs.
They love my jokes. I'm crushing up with the dogs.
Yeah,
right
they're loving it. They're loving it. Go on. What was the final one? The fighter of the year, did you say?
Fighter of the year. Yeah. I mean, there's a clear.
Brendan Schaub. No, sure. We're talking about podcasts. He was just in my head.
Gotcha. Okay. So the nominations for this one are, I'm going to go fan voting here. Bottom to the top, last one receiving votes, Khabib Nurmagomedov. He had only the one fight this year, but you know, he did retire as arguably the, you know, greatest of all time. I know we don't argue that anymore, but you know,
he had one fight. It won and a bit rounds. It won and a half rounds.
And he's only got one title in one weight class. This is old news. We need somebody to be defending multiple titles, multiple weight classes, multiple times per year.
Like my good friend Vin Diesel told me when we were on his private jet flying back from Brazil, he said, "Michael, winning, being champion of one division is not enough these days." I'm like, "Thanks, Vin, you fucking prick." He's like, "Connor destroyed that for you, Mike. You got to be a two-weight division champion to really cut the mustard these days." I'm like, "Thanks, Vin. Thank you. I sacrificed a fucking guy to get this one belt. You know what I mean?
What would you have to give up to another belt? Holy shit.
Take my penis. Let's go."
That's the title of the episode. Take my penis.
Take my penis. go on. So who do we have?
Next one up, a guy who did defend his belt twice, but people try to forget that first one. Israel Adesanya with wins over Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa.
Well, when you look at the competition as well, don't get me wrong, Khabib beating Justin Gaethje. And I even thought, you know, I got a little... sidetracked the way Justin Gaethje beat Tony Ferguson. I thought, oh man, he's going to beat Khabib potentially, but we saw how that went down. Yoel Romero, very, very tough fighter, big win. They were shitty fights though, weren't they? And it wasn't Izzy's fault. Yoel Romero didn't do anything the entire fight and Israel won by decision. And then the next fight, Paulo Costa never showed up, didn't do anything. And then he destroyed him. But that's because they were intimidated by Israel Adesanya. That's not his fault that his opponents aren't engaging. That's not his fault that he's so good that people don't want to make that first move for fear of being countered. You know, his footwork and the speed, you know, they intimidated him. So far, I'm on Izzy's train, but Lewis.
I mean, definitely Izzy over Khabib, but and I'll say in Izzy's defense as well for Fighter of the Year, even though he only has two performances and they weren't necessarily his most exciting performances through no fault of his own, he did get a title shot at 205 this year. Now, he didn't fight, but I still think that should be considered in terms of when you're looking overall at what's going on in a fighter's career, both in, out of the cage, setting his, up his future. I mean, the fact that he's moving up to 205 pounds to hopefully become a two-division champion from his perspective, that should be noted. The fact that he's, you know, in a weird way, broken out this year and become, I mean, 4 million Instagram followers is crazy. He didn't even have 1 million 2 years ago. Like, he wasn't famous like that. He really came into his own. He's gotten a lot of fans. A lot of people are calling him pound for pound number one in the world. And that fight against John Jones looks like it's all about a foregone conclusion eventually. So I think you have to consider all of that. And that does shine an even brighter light on Israel Adesanya as Fighter of the Year.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the same thing as well. Look at what he's also trying to achieve. And Khabib, for as good and as dominant as he has been, isn't jumping weight classes. And for somebody to really stand out, to, we spoke about this at length, to really try and achieve greatness, you know, and then even in the eyes of Vin Diesel, you got to have two fucking belts. You know what I mean? Vin's going to love this guy in March. If he beats Jan Blachowicz, he'll finally get some credit. And that's what he's willing to do. Granted, he's stepping up the weight class, so it's not as much of a risk because he'll still have his belt. But still, he's trying to jump weight class. He's trying to also beat Conor McGregor's record of becoming the first ever champ. I was talking to somebody about this recently, and Conor, and I saw it on someone's Twitter recently as well, to become a champ, it took Conor something like 1,600 days. And if Adesanya beats Jan Blachowicz in March, it will have taken him 1,300 days with the promotion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pretty impressive. But still, that's happening in 2021, which is half a day away. It's irrelevant. Well, who are the other two nominations?
The other two nominations. First up is a man who went 3-0-1 this year. Technically, only three title fights because he missed the weight for the first time against Joseph Benavidez. But Davison Figueiredo, just one hell of a year for him.
Okay, Figueiredo. Okay, we spoke about him at length. And who was four? And then we'll give our winner.
Another man you spoke about at length, again, tying the record for most wins in a year, Kevin Holland.
Yeah. Lewis, who do you say?
Out of those nominees, I mean, I got to give it to Izzy. I wish he had more fights this year. I think that's sort of the metric that everybody goes by, but I'm looking overall, this year is a very strange year. It's not a year that you can be super active. There's a lot of, roadblocks in the way, and he was still able to, you know, break out into being this massive, massive star almost on everyone, at the very least top three pound for pound list. Like, you know, that was something that I think is, it's really difficult to do. The fact that he's going to fight for 205. Yeah. I think that he had probably the most notable year for all of the fighters we were talking about.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. And I think I'm going to make it a tie. I'm going to say Adesanya and Kevin Holland, because Kevin Holland, what are we talking about here? Fighter of the year, the fighter's spirit, the willingness to throw down, the willingness to take on all comers anytime, anyone, any place. And Kevin Holland fits that. Now, of course, to your point, Lewis, that was a great point, by the way, with the travel restrictions in place, getting two fights in for Adesanya, that was very, very good. You know, one of them, he had to go to Fire Island. First one was in Houston at the start of the year, then he went to Fight Island, and then getting the third one in, you know, he's fighting for two belts next year, so of course he's gonna have to wait for that. But Kevin Holland just taking on all these comers and taking on the change of opponents, taking on guys like Jacare, he's had a tremendous year as well. So I say tied Adesanya, Kevin Holland.
Wow, we've never done that either. Look at that.
Fuck it, Kevin Holland. Sorry, Adesanya.
Wow.
Harrington gets the deciding vote.
Adesanya or Kevin Holland.
We have Brian as well. We have Brian if it's a tiebreaker. It can't be a tiebreaker because he's two against.
Fucking make it a tie again.
Well, you know, as you guys pointed out, you know, it is a very difficult year to take.
Hold on. Sorry to cut you off, Harrington.
Sure.
How about this? We'll do for the Fighter of the Year because it's the biggest award. We'll all get one vote and we'll give the fans one vote. So whoever the fans get their vote, Harrington gets a vote, Brian gets one, you get one, I get one. And I think that's the fairest way to do it.
All right, so I say Kevin Holland. You say Adesanya. Harrington, who do you say?
I got to agree with Kevin Holland, man. That's five fights since May. That's on.
All right, you don't need to go into it. We know why. I just did it. Okay, that's it's beautiful logic. 2-1. Brian McKay. B. McKay is right. Is your email address? Everyone, hit him up with dick pics. Brian, who do you have?
Hey, man, I'm going to go with Khabib. He retired on top.
Fucking asshole. You make me sick.
Out of left field.
I mean, he left on his own terms. He's handily smashed every single person that's ever been put in front of him. It's his year.
Feel like it's not his year. I mean, his father died. You know, he might not come
terrible
back.
Year.
Terrible year.
He retired. His father died. Guy was crying his eyes out in the octagon. It's like, get a grip, bloke. Come on, what are you doing?
Not a good year for him. I would say it is he's the fighter, maybe the worst year.
Who do the fans say, Harry?
Professionally.
Harrington, who do the fans say?
Ever so slightly, with 35.2% of the vote, Kevin Holland takes the
Believers. Your BYM Fighter of the Year, Kevin Holland. There he is. Fighter of the Year.
60% of the vote. My word. 20 from me, 20 from the fans, and 20 from Harrington. I mean, that's a landslide victory. Landslide.
I was trying to understand the percentage there. I was like,
five people, five categories. Harrington, I'm a little disappointed. I thought we'd have some, most controversial moment of the year, stupidest thing, or, I thought we'd have some joke categories in there. Is that it? It's all legitimate.
Fighter that Michael Bisping would least like to walk into his wife in bed with award. That's
Ngannou. Ngannou. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Francis Ngannou. Most guys I'll have a pop out. Ngannou, I'm gonna throw him a blue chew. I'll say, crack on, buddy. Crack on. Fill your boots. What else have we got? What are the categories, Lewis?
We could do podcast producer of the year.
Brian McKay.
Brian McKay. Oh,
Brian or Harrington.
Sure.
Brian or Harrington. Shannon. Or Shannon. Shannon, no, Shannon. Shannon left us. She ditched us. She's dead to me. Okay, I know you two are flirting like crazy on social media, but don't try and insert her into this award show. I'm sorry, she's dead.
I'm trying to insert something into Shannon.
We have less issues with Brian, though. I gotta say.
I would give it to Cody Merrow from Bilal Muhammad's podcast, but that's just me.
Brian's fuck very you, consistent. Traitor.
Yeah, Harrington talks more though, so more potential to mess up. But still, Brian's got better hair. Take your hat off, Harrington. Let's have a look at the hair.
I mean, I have.
Let's have a look.
It's exactly what you were talking about earlier. I shaved it for the fight I had, and it is rough right now.
Yeah, no, it's always a rough phase. I think I'm going to do it though in the new year. Well, congrats, Brian. $5,000 coming your way. That was a big one, Harrington. You blew it. We've been saving up all year. You know what I mean? Fucking. Harrington's going out for a fancy steak dinner tonight. Okay. And that's it, is it? No more awards?
That was it. That's the award show, Bisping.
It was 11 categories. You hated how many it was to start with.
You did complain about the amount of categories.
It's a lot of categories, but I thought we'd have a little pizzazz, a little flair, a little inventivity. It's not even a word. Creativity, a little ingenuity.
We gave Mike Perry's girlfriend an award. How much more do you want?
She deserved that award.
Yeah,
okay.
Piece of shit. Why are you disparaging her performance?
She is a pregnant woman. Take that back immediately. She went out there. She the finesse, the experience, you could see. You cannot buy that.
All right, real quick, before we wrap up this show, I think we have a couple news stories that Harrington's going to quick hit. Let me just say, first of all, Happy New Year. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting the show. We are very close to that 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, which we should hit any day now. So thank you so much for subscribing on YouTube. Go do that if you haven't yet. Hit the notification button. Make sure you get notifications every time we have a brand new episode that drops to YouTube. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, literally anywhere you can find a podcast. You can find a bunch of the BYM library. And if you guys want to get the entire on-demand library, both ad-free and uncensored, you can get it at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. You get a 14-day free trial. You save $1.50 a month if you decide to keep the premium service. This is it. The final Hammer Fisting with Harrington of the year. The final episode of the year. Bisping, before we even get into that, I got to say, buddy, thank you so much for doing the show. I love doing it with you. I think that we do something very unique here. And I think this year, where it's been trying in a lot of ways, I think that this show has grown tremendously this year. And I just wanted to say that I'm very appreciative of being able to work with you.
Well, thank you. But you just took the words out of my mouth. And now it looks like I'm copying. You know what I'm saying? You don't get to lead with all the good stuff. Okay. They're like, oh, Lewis is so nice. He's so caring. Bisping's just a dick. He shouts at Harrington. He shouts at Lewis. Oh, he's grumpy today. And now, when I was about to say some nice, heartwarming stuff, you beat me to it. You beat me to the punch. No. Right back at you, buddy. Pleasure working with all of you. Harrington, Brian, we appreciate what you do. Everybody listening, everyone that views, pays attention, leaves comments, everything. We have a very, very passionate fan base. And for that, we are very, very appreciative. So thank you very much. And Lewis, of course, big shout out to yourself, buddy. Great working with you as always. And 2021 is going to be a big year for us. I'm even going to have some artwork. I'm going to have no echo. It's going to be insane. You're going to love it. But until then, Harrington, hammer fisters, please.
Honor and privilege to work with you guys. All right. Dana officially broke the news this week. The UFC is going to let Michael Chandler make his debut against Dan Hooker, UFC 257 next month. What do you guys think about that being the first matchup for the former Bellator champion?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good matchup. You know, I know that he's been taking a while. He's been part of the UFC roster for a bit now, you know, and I just want to see him fight, if I'm honest. The big thing with Michael Chandler was, you know, of course, he was a longtime Bellator champion. How successful will he be when he comes over to the UFC? We saw before Eddie Alvarez, he became the champion. He had a good run before going off to ONE FC. We want to see what Michael Chandler's like. He's taking his time. But listen, it is what it is. I understand why he's doing this. He's trying to be on the biggest fight cards possible. He's going to be on the Conor McGregor fight. Is that the co-main event, Harrington?
It looks like it's going to be, yes.
Yeah, it's a good co-main event. Great fight. Solid matchmaking. Yeah, Lewis.
And obviously, I think it's they put that fight on that same card. God forbid there is an injury or somebody has to pull out of the Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier fight. Michael Chandler will be right there to pick up the pieces. So smart matchmaking by the UFC. I think that, you know, Michael Chandler's got a lot of hype. But, I mean, how many guys come into the UFC out of other organizations with that much hype and win their debuts? Not very many. We've seen it happen a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dan Hooker was able to take it to him.
I just said Eddie Alvarez came over in the similar circumstances and became champion. Did he lose his first fight?
He did.
Oh, he did. Who did he lose to?
Cowboy, I believe.
Ah, okay.
A lot of guys did. It's crazy, dude. Like, you know, these guys, it's not an easy path into the UFC.
Who did you say then, Harrington Holloway?
Hollywood, I was an idiot. I meant Anthony Pettis, lost his debut against Clay Guida. You know, you remember David Branch came over as a champion. Marlon Moraes came over as a champion. They both
remember back in the day when they brought Pride out. All the Pride guys came over to the UFC and didn't do very well either. Shogun, there was a lot of them. You know, Wanderlei Silva's career never panned out the same in the UFC either. So it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, the UFC bought Strikeforce out. We watched the same thing happen with a lot of the Strikeforce guys. Yeah. A lot of guys hit and miss. So we will see. I'm all eyes on Michael Chandler, but not because I think he's just going to come in and set the world on fire. I would like to see how he's going to do against the UFC competition, which is by far the top competition in the world.
Harrington.
All right. I think we have a new Tony versus Khabib all of a sudden. Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev is canceled again for next month, guys. I don't know if this fight is ever going to happen, but Dana says he wants to keep that pairing together. Edwards had called for Masvidal to step in as a replacement. He wanted to stay on top of the card. No, instead it's going to go to Magny versus Chiesa headlining that. My question for you is, does that matchup still make sense, or do you want to see Leon Edwards get in there against somebody else?
Well, first of all, it makes great sense. It was solid matchmaking. Of course, Khamzat's getting a big opportunity. Leon Edwards being a gangster because he's putting his reputation on the line against a guy that you could argue doesn't necessarily deserve it. But however, the match was made and it had people salivating at it because it was, you know, an interesting situation. Of course, he got COVID. He's off. I still want to see the fight, though. But I was kind of surprised. I mean, come on. Jorge Masvidal punched Leon Edwards in the face backstage at UFC London. That fight has all the promotion lined up, just like Conor McGregor and Khabib. Yeah. They got all that good stuff there. It's a massive, massive fight that they could make. And this was the perfect opportunity to take advantage of all of that with Leon, with Khamzat getting sick. But, you know, UFC, they call the shots. And I'm not mad at it. I'm not angry at the situation. But I would have thought that was a chance for Masvidal to step up.
Yeah, with the amount of times that they've sort of had to rebook it, I wouldn't mind them, if Leon's ready to go, putting him up against another guy. That also makes a little bit more sense in the division. That moves Leon forward, because Khamzat is not going to move Leon forward even if he wins that matchup. It's going to move him forward in terms of like eyes on him and fan appeal, which debatably is as important as rankings. I mean, if the fans want to see you fight, that means a hell of a lot to the UFC, believe me. But yeah, I still want to see the fight happen. There's been so much hype behind this fight now, and I'm all team Leon Edwards. I really want to see Leon Edwards stop the hype train. I love when spoilers happen. I love when the plan A doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. So I like the fact that they're still going to make this fight, but I would not be mad at all if they made Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal.
Right. But they're not going to. That fight is not being made. They're keeping hold of it. Which again, and by the way, that wasn't a slight on Masvidal. I get it. He can't step in on short notice all the time and save cards. You know, he needs a full training camp. And on this situation, he wouldn't get one. You know, he wants to fight for the belt again pretty soon. In fact, I want to see Masvidal fight, period, nonstop. You know, he's MIA at the moment.
Not only that, I mean, he was one of the biggest pay-per-view stars of last year, if not the biggest. So putting him on a fight night card just seems like taking money out of his and the UFC's pocket, you know. But all right, so, you know, Israel Adesanya got his wish. He's going to be fighting Jan Błachowicz. It's officially set for UFC 259 on March 6th. My question for you, how do you guys see that fight going down?
That is not a hammer fisting. That is a breakdown. That's an entire
episode of the show that we're going to do in a month.
Yeah. Well, 3 months away. March is 3 months. And we've already done it. When the time comes, we've already broken it down. We've given our picks, all the rest of it. I might even end up commentating on it. So therefore, I might be fired. Are you trying to get me fired, Harrington? Is that what's going on right now?
Okay, fine. Fun alternative to that then. Kevin Holland is getting his wish. He's going to be fighting Derek Brunson right around that same time on March 20th. My question for you, with Israel Adesanya moving out of the division, does a win in this fight get Kevin Holland an interim title shot?
Whoa. Hold on. What? Why? Why would that be an interim title fight?
It's a big jump.
I'm saying Kevin Holland, right, is going to fight Derek Brunson, right?
Yes.
If he wins that fight, right, with the belt leaving the division and Israel Adesanya going up to light heavyweight.
But Israel's not vacating that belt. And we've seen now at this point, we've seen fighters defend both, right? So is he definitely getting rid of that 185-pound title? I think that's
No. He's going to hang on to both. He's going to try and defend both. The point Harrington's making is, in the past, UFC sometimes bring in an interim champion, which they might do. And his question is, if he beats Derek Brunson, is he worthy to fight for the interim belt? Correct, Harrington?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. If he beats Derek Brunson, which... I've got nothing against Derek Brunson, but I think Kevin Holland, given the form that he's on, what I've seen from him, and then you look at MMA math doesn't work at all. But you look at Jacare versus Derek Brunson, that ended quick, but still, you know, you can't look too much into that. But if he beats Derek Brunson, that's 6 wins in a row. He just beat Brunson, just beat Jacare, as well as the other four. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All right. Frankie Edgar has been booked against the number 2 ranked Corey Sanhagen. Aljamain Sterling is the next in line for the belt against Piotr Jan. But with TJ Dillashaw coming back and Jose Aldo in the mix as well, is this a title eliminator?
And who's he fighting? Corey Sanhagen taking on
Frankie Edgar.
I mean, I don't know, because the thing is, I love Frankie Edgar, so I would love to see him get a title fight. But He's been in a lot of title fights, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if the buying public would part ways with the money to watch Frankie Edgar in another title fight. I mean, he had a lot at lightweight. He had them at 45. I don't think he's had one at 35, has he?
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. On a personal level, I'd love to see it. But, of course, you've got to get through Corey Sanhagen, who looked tremendous last time out against Marlon Moraes. So that's a tough fight anyway. But, listen, may the best man win, and whoever wins, yeah, screw it, man. Weird hammer-fisting questions, Lewis, right?
Yeah, a little bit weird. I mean, I think he's running out on fumes right now, but that's fine, Harrington. You did a good job.
Well, let's just end on this. What is everyone doing tonight? What are your plans? Lewis, you're working, you're doing comedy. Harrington, what are you doing, bud?
I mean, I'm not going to risk my employment here at Gas Digital. If I get COVID at one of these New Year's parties, that's going to screw up, you know, the whole month of January for me. So I think I'm just going to stay in. Fuck it. It's another day.
B-Dog?
I'm going to be editing BYM till real close to midnight, guys.
See, that, you know what I mean? You make it sound like that's not a good thing. You get to listen
thing.
To all our voices. Yeah.
You're getting to create. You're working. A lot of people are out of work right now. You know, you're
not complaining.
You know, a lot of people would kill for this job, Brian. And look, I mean, you're obviously rich. I'm looking at what, you know, looks like a shed with a lot of weird furniture that's being unused in it.
He's got a space heater in the back right there. You know what I mean?
It's a radiator.
A radiator.
It's attached to the house.
Oh, my bad. Okay, well, listen, Mr. Fancy Lardy Dar with built-in heating over there. Jesus Christ. Us mere mortals are bringing in space heaters. He's got it wired into the house. Fucking Brian, you're the winner. Fire of the year, best newcomer, all that shit. You get it all. He's got a radiator.
All right. Well, listen, guys, whatever you do, if you're listening to this, go out there tonight. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Light is at the end of the tunnel with all this bullshit, but it's going to be a long tunnel. So don't hold your breath. But we appreciate you all for listening to this show. Very, very much so. And I think I speak on behalf of the whole team when we say thank you. But Lewis, what have you got, bud?
Listen, that's it. You guys know how I feel. I love you guys. The fan support is incredible. You know, we live in a world of haters and people love to talk shit on the internet and blast people on the internet. And we just have such an extremely positive fan base that it really does warm my heart. And look, we promise you, we always do. We always try to expand the show and make it better. We promise you this year will be no different than any other year. We will be growing the show. We'll be doing whatever we can do to make it the best experience for you guys. So please keep the feedback coming in. Send them to your fan questions, bympod@gmail.com. In fact, let us know your predictions for 2021. And on the next show, we'll read some fan predictions. bympod@gmail.com. What is your predictions for 2021? The best predictions we will read on the show. Maybe we'll give you a little prize or something. But do that and send in your fan questions, fan mail, all that other stuff.